Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. Hey, I'm going to be at Discount Drug Mart in Brunswick Hills tomorrow, Nathan.
I'll miss you.
And I'll miss you, too. You're going to be here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Going to be joined by Jabal Sheard and Buster Screen out there, and Chomps will be out there as well. So this show, 1 to 3 p.m. tomorrow from Discount Drug Mart, the one that's located at 5274 Center Road in Brunswick Hills, Ohio. Come on out. Always love to meet and greet. We can, we can share our sorrow together over this team.
Commiserate.
Exactly, over the struggles of this Browns team, or just talk football. And again, Jabal and Buster will be there to sign autographs and post for pictures. It is a cool setup. We do encourage you to come out and say hello. All right, calls, and we've got a bunch of them. What do we got on the line here? On the barks from the pound.
We've got Eric in Worcester. Welcome to CBD.
Hey, Beck, how you doing?
Good, Eric.
How you doing?
This is pretty good. I was going to make a comment on what you were talking about, looking for guys on Saturday. I'm looking at three guys, Bettenberger at LSU, that plays under Cam Cameron, a North Turner style offense.
Yep.
Blake Bortles at UCF, who has that kind of that big Ben magic that just makes stuff happen at the end of the game. Then
not bad.
Derek Carr out in Fresno State. David's little brother, who's having highs with crazy numbers. So it's in the Mountain West.
He's been impressive. I kind of started focusing on him a little bit, and he's in a real interesting story too.
Yeah.
Guy's kind of recovered from some issues, and that's not a bad list of guys to look at. We were talking during the break. Who were some of the other names you were kicking around too at quarterback
top guys, Mariota from Oregon, Teddy Bridgewater. You got obviously Manziel, although he had a very unimpressive showing. AJ McCarron at Alabama. Aaron Murray, who I liked a lot.
Murray was the guy
at Georgia, but had the torn ACL. Brett Hundley at UCLA. He's got a lot of tremendous physical gifts. If he can get a little bit more consistent, could be very special. Because when he's good, he is really good.
I think that's a name that just a little buzz that I've kind of heard around here was Hundley. This was a few weeks ago, so I don't know if it's – I think these things are charted, and then eventually they come to a consensus. So nothing you really hear during the course of the college season – sort of locks you into any single guy, and I think they're pretty open to the idea of looking at everybody. Let's go to Terry in Akron with us now. Hello, Terry.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, why doesn't Jimmy Haslam use some of that rebate money that he sent into the his oil diesel stores to rebate season ticket holders?
Well, I mean, I understand that's a comment you're making. You're frustrated. I hope you're not being serious. That's fine to be sarcastic about that. But you're not guaranteed winning football. You're not even guaranteed great football when you buy football tickets to games. And that's kind of been the way of the world in sports. You show up basically hoping to see something successful, and you invest because you believe what's there. And if it's not there, it's not there. And it can change for a lot of reasons, not the least of which would be injury and other things. That's not always the case with what we're looking at this year, although I think injuries have played into the story. This season, it's a long list of calamities that define where the Browns are at 4-7. Injuries definitely on that list. Poor performance is on that list. But, yeah, they don't do the refund rebate thing for poor performance or whatever it is that you're dissatisfied. You don't have enough wins. You don't have enough success. It just doesn't work that way. How about Brian and Dayton? What do you got, Brian? Something realistic, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so. How's it going, guys?
Good.
All right, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I was just calling about the Browns quarterback situation. Like, I know Campbell's probably not going to be playing this weekend. Whedon's a play away from getting knocked out. So who they got lined up behind them? Like, who's on the scout team? And what are the chances we see a wide receiver get a start at quarterback this year?
I hope it doesn't happen. they go out, and whoever they do get, they're getting somebody who is designated to be a backup quarterback. They're not bringing in anyone with aspirations for that guy to be the starter, although with five games to go, although with a track record of Whedon, both in terms of performance and the obvious constant potential for injury given the hits that we see quarterbacks take on this and other teams. Sure, that possibility is that that guy, quarterback X, could end up on the field. As far as you going to the depth of a wide receiver or somebody else stepping in at that position, I have no idea who that would be, and I don't even want to think about it. Do you?
No. No, absolutely.
Let's just get off that topic.
Yes.
It's Nathan. Nathan is and Nathan's got a good arm.
I can sling the ball a little bit.
He can sling the rock.
I don't know how many hits I could take.
Ken is. I don't want you taking hits, bro. I need you here with me. Ken on the cell. What do you got, Ken?
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I just had a different spin on the whole thing. First of all, I love your show. I listen every day.
Appreciate it.
From what you guys are saying, there's no quarterbacks that. And next year's draft that really, really jump out at somebody.
I don't know. I think there are some good ones. I mean, well, I definitely think there are guys that can come in, and if they perform up to the level that they could be as good as, you know, there's no Andrew Luck. But Andrew Luck was the best-rated quarterback since John Elway. But there are very good quarterbacks who can start right away.
Well, I was going to say, why don't they give Hoyer a chance next year?
Oh, Ken,
I think he will get a chance.
Hoyer's going to get a chance.
And then wait until the 2015 draft to get their franchise quarterback.
No, I think, thank you for the call. I am not saying they won't find the franchise guy this year. I just don't see overwhelming, obvious consensus guy. And I'm not even necessarily saying I want Andrew Luck or I want Robert Griffin III in terms of the confidence level that you had for both of those guys entering that 2012 draft. Okay? I'm not saying that. But this draft, this quarterback crop, leaves me a little flatter than I thought I would be at this time of year. It's just, is there any single guy that gets us all excited? We can find reasons to like this guy or this guy, but then we can it's not slow to get to a point. It's pretty quick to get to a point where you say, yeah, but he doesn't do this, or yeah, but I saw him struggle here and there. And those are the things that I think make it difficult to kind of totally digest this class and say, yeah, the answer for the Browns definitely is going to come from this quarterback crop. An answer can come, and I'll also go this far. The answer, maybe ideally, doesn't play in 2014. Maybe he doesn't play in 2015. Maybe it is Brian Hoyer playing both of those years, and let's hope that he's a healthy guy and ready to go. But that in itself is such a wide open, open-ended question to say, put all your eggs in the basket of a guy who gave you two promising games. Two. That's it. That's all he gave you. And you're taking a major leap of faith to say that Hoyer is the answer in the future. It's still an open-ended question in terms of him and an open-ended question in terms of this draft producing that guy that will turn all the fortunes around for the Browns. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly. Listen, I know it's sad that this is where we're at, that we feel like this is the topic that needs to be discussed, but let's keep in mind, at least I'm going to try to keep in mind, that this is what these guys are here to do. The front office, the scouting department, that's what they are working on all year in, year round. And as we get through into the off season and we're doing Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we'll be bringing in many of the great scouts, many of the great draft experts from around the NFL. We'll get as much information as possible, and we'll really dive deep on all these prospects, get into their strengths and weaknesses, the potential fit for the Browns, what the expectations are, etc., and get into that. Yeah. I think ideally the quarterback that they draft will be somebody that can come in and play and make an immediate impact and get this thing going right away. At least that would be my hope for it.
My hope too, but I'm just, yeah, the reality could be something different than the hope. Tony in Cleveland. Hey, Tony. Tony just hung up. How about Aaron in Shaker?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, man.
It was really tough to watch the game yesterday, and it was really discouraging for me to see what happened to Jason Campbell and to see that there was no flag thrown. Now, we were right in front of the referee down on the 25-yard line when he was over there explaining to Chud what happened, and he looked like he was motioning at his shoulders. But when I watched the replay evening, no doubt that was a foul. It was
correct.
A hit to the head, and it was also probably
yep.
a face
like
round.
A slap to
Why
the
was call?
Yeah.
Totally blown call. I mean,
blown call.
In my opinion, no total sense. Blown call, horrible call, awful game-changing call.
Yep. I agree. I awful.
Not to make an excuse for what else happened, but that was a horrible call and could have changed the game a little
we
bit.
We see lesser calls made for quarterbacks who aren't injured when they get cracked in the head. This guy this couldn't have been more blatant and more obvious. And all I kept saying was, okay, there's a flag on. In fact, I looked downfield because he had obviously made the throw, and then I turned around and said, there's no flag here. This guy just got mugged.
He was practically decapitated.
Yes. Tony in Cleveland is back with us now. Tony, what's up?
Yeah. Hey, Vic. You know what I was thinking? What you need for a winning team is you got to have an offensive line that can protect the quarterback and stop them from getting hurt and knocked out of games. So if I was the Browns, I'd use the two good draft picks on offensive linemen.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I think O-line has got to be high on this team's priority list. I can't rank it for you, Tony, and I can't tell you specifically how that'll all unfold. But I'm pretty confident sitting here on November 25th to tell you that you're going to see that. You're going to see that position addressed pretty high up in this draft. So that's about all I got there, is that you'll see that. And as Nathan said, we're going to have plenty of shows that will dive into this. We'll have up and out segments, whole shows devoted to this analysis, and we are going to be able to bring you some incredible people who will study this and share with you the information as they share it, as like former general managers. I'm thinking of a Bill Polian and others who will absolutely come on multiple times on this show in the off season and give us their expertise as they've done it. Gil Brandt, some of the best who've been the architect of great teams and who study this team and the other NFL teams. So they'll not only bring it to you from the perspective of guys who know the draft, know the college players, but also know the Browns and what the Browns' needs are. All right, we've got much more coming up for you. It is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Still want to hear from more of you. You can tweet us, at Browns_daily, but please dial us up at 216-578-0850, a Therapy Monday edition of CBD. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.